Attuned to Northfolk Works, and I'm Hazel Kahn. Today, I'm delighted to introduce two of my neighbors who are actively engaged in the civic life of the Northfolk, Drianne Benner and Anne Murray. Welcome to Northfolk Works and to WPKN, Anne and Drianne. Welcome.
Thank you, Hazel.
Thank you, Hazel.
You know, in an earlier conversation, we discovered that all three of us had arrived here on the North Fork at more or less the same time around the new millennium. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about is just how much has changed. But let's start now with Drianne Benner. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself as a North Forker and also as a member of your civic association.
I came to Orient about almost 25 years ago as a second home owner. And we came here because we thought it was a wonderful place for our family to spend time. It is a wonderfully enjoyable community, both in the scale of the community, the village size, the fact that you don't have to worry about safety, and our children could be in the community freely. It's very much the same today, meaning there's a safety and security and love of this place, which is so beautiful. I became involved in the civic in 2013, 14, something like that, as we were working on the beginnings of our version of the comprehensive plan. And I was focused on the agricultural chapter as I was involved previously in the Peconic Land Trust. And because we have so much preserved land and farming here, it's a great love of mine. So again, I think when we have these great loves and passions, it's very, very easy for us to want to preserve what we have for the future so others can enjoy it too.
After you've introduced yourself, Anne, we'll get into describing and defining what a civic association is and is not. So Anne, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
I moved to the North Fork in 1999 after living my whole life in New York City. My partner and I had friends out here, and we were visiting them one weekend. And our landlord in the city had said we had to move in a few months because he was selling the house. And we looked around and said, you know, this would be a great place to live. And if we could work remotely, this might be the thing to do. And that's how we ended up here. We bought a house the following year in East Marion. And back in 2007, I got very involved in the community here. The East Marion Community Association was formed then. I was a founding member, and the impetus for that was the prospect of a huge building project here, which would have been a luxury spa that was proposed for a quiet residential street here in East Marion. And that galvanized people in the community to get together and say, how can we stop this?
What is a civic association? Is that the technical term, association?
Many times it is called an association. The way I think of it is a group of engaged citizens that are focused on preserving and protecting their communities and the future of their hamlet. And we do this primarily by raising issues of relevance to the community, educating the community on these concerns, and focusing on what we can do to, again, further protect and preserve our communities. And those actions that we take are generally the results of a poll of our members, because we are associations. And so we do have members, and they are voting members. So that's an important detail.
Here in East Marion, we organized as the East Marion Community Association, as opposed to Civic Association, because we wanted to emphasize the word community and galvanize people around issues of shared concern, such as the prospective spa that I spoke about earlier. One of the duties that we took on as a community association was monitoring planning, land use, and zoning issues in the town. And we got very, very involved in monitoring the town agencies, such as the town board, the trustees, the planning board, and we actually had volunteers who would go to every single meeting and monitor what was going on. We did that because the prospective spa kind of took everyone by surprise because no one was paying attention. So from that time on, there has always been people in East Marion that are paying attention to what's happening in town government.
What you're both saying is at the heart of all of this is protecting and preserving what exists. So if that is the role of an individual civic, why has North Fork Civics been formed?
After we founded the East Marion Community Association, Mary Eisenstein, who lived in Matatuck, called me up one day and said, I want to meet you for coffee because I want to start a civic in Matatuck. Can you tell me how this all came about? And she started a civic in Matatuck. When we became very active with the East Marion Community Association, our hope was always that the impetus for getting active civics would spread throughout the North Fork. So after Matatuck Laurel Civic was formed, as the town was developing its comprehensive plan, both Orient and East Marion developed what they considered their own plans for their hamlets and decided to meet with town officials and say, well, this is what we would like in our own hamlet, because each hamlet has its own specific issues. In October of 2015, I decided to get the New Suffolk Civic, Manitouk Laurel Civic, Orient Civic, and East Marion Community Association together for a first meeting. I emailed everyone and said, you know what, we probably have issues in common. Why don't we start meeting? At that time, we met once a month. But what really helped grow the civics were two things. The house size issue, which Dreed will remember, each community and civic association started showing one big home. There's a film about how Martha's Vineyard dealt with the giant home issue. And we did a joint showing in Orient and East Marion, and it led someone to approach us and say, I want to start a civic in Cutchogue. COVID really was a big impetus to get the Southhold Peconic Civic on board. We started seeing a tremendous amount of people moving here from the city. The housing market exploded. People were getting evicted from homes they'd rented for many, many years. So all these issues really came up during COVID.
Maybe I could add to that a little bit, Hazel. Mm. I think COVID, just as we're on a Zoom call at this moment, we could easily get together on a very regular basis. And we found that if we shared resources, and there are tremendous resources on the civic boards, that we could, by pooling those resources, get a lot more done. We learn a lot from each other, we share expertise, and we started to focus on those things that we had in common and put together in a fairly structured and disciplined way, things that we could work on together. If there's a forum on deer issues in Cutchogue, we have deer issues in Orient, why don't we just jump on that Zoom call in Cutchogue and be more efficient about the use of town resources as well and other people? Through collaboration, we learn a lot more. We get a lot more done more quickly, and we can work with the town more efficiently. I think that's another thing. It's just being efficient working with the town and or other partnerships.
That's a wonderful review of what a civic is and where we stand today with a gathering of civics. What is the situation today? How many civics are or organizations are in within North Fork Civics? Are there many others sort of waiting to come in, or is it done?
From east to west, the seven hamlets that have a civic: Fisher's Island, Orient, East Marion, Southhold Peconic, Cutchogue, New Suffolk, Matatuck Laurel. There are a few other hamlets that could form a civic. But in general, I think, Anne, wouldn't you agree that we've covered most of the population of Southhold Town?
Well, we're missing Greenport, and hopefully Greenport will be able to get underway at some point. There's someone that we worked with in Greenport Village who's been trying to get a civic off the ground for a while and has not been successful yet, but we're hoping that both Greenport Village and Greenport West, which is the area of the town outside the village itself, will come together and get a civic going at some point.
Within the civics, how do you organize yourselves? Are you all equal? You consider it is it a hierarchical thing? What is it?
We're all equal, Hazel. I don't think that we think of it as bigger or smaller. Each civic organization has incredible expertise and shared resources. So it's not so much about the size of your hamlet or, let's say, the prominence of your civic in terms of the number of events you do. For us, it's about working and focusing on the issues that we have in common and getting the work done.
Right, Hazel. It's a coalition. We're not a formal organization with bylaws and rules and officers and all that kind of thing. We're a coalition that comes together on specific issues.
We have a mission and vision statement that we will be posting on our website, our North Fork Civics website. If I just read a few sentences here, it might help. So the North Fork Civics of Southold is a coalition of Hamlet civic organizations in the town of Southold. Our mission is to inform the community about critical issues that affect its future and advocate for effective actions that support our collective vision for Southold. Our vision for the town seeks to preserve its unique natural beauty and rural character, to preserve Southold Town as the last great place on Long Island, and to support a high quality of life for all residents. And then we discuss how we accomplish that mission through communication and action.
However aspirational your statement is, somebody has to be in charge at any one time. Is there a rotating thing that somebody is going to be in charge of a meeting? How does work get actually done?
We have a weekly call. It's pretty much weekly at this point. And all the civic representatives attend. Anne and I coordinate that call. We have formed working groups. We actually had a, let's call it an offsite last year to focus on strategic priorities, those things that we have in common, because there are some things, as Anne said, that are very specific to each of our hamlets that we wouldn't have in common with another hamlet, at least not obviously to begin with. So we focused on a couple of issues, and believe it or not, that survey was very helpful in understanding those priorities that we had in common. So we sat down and we formed essentially three working groups. As Anne has referenced, we worked on house size for a long time. It started in 2016 and the code changes only took place last year.
Talk about what the house size issue is.
Okay, so back in 2016, I remember talking to the late, great Bob Hanlon about how so many people were suddenly building these giant homes, and a lot of them were out of proportion with their neighbors. They were blocking the light from their neighbors' homes or blocking the views, maybe water views that people had. And we were like, we need to do something. So we started meeting with the town and saying, you know, maybe you should think about changing the code. But we persevered. And, you know, look how long it took from 2015, 2016 until last year. It was, what, 5 years to get it done, but it took a lot of meetings. It took a lot of educating the town board and code enforcement people, researching what other towns had done. It was a slog, but we really did finally get it done. And it was a great victory for us because it proved that a bunch of citizens getting together can really get something done. The town doesn't really have the resources sometimes to work on these issues.
And it takes a great deal of focus and dedicated and sustained effort. So we had over 25 meetings in the last 2 years on this with various town officials. The town board is the group that gets it done at the end of the day. We are there to help and support and provide resources. They may not have the time to have that dedicated, focused effort.
So the civics are actually end up being almost an extension, in a way, of the town.
The town board finally realized this is something that the people in the town wanted. So they decided they would get it done. And that's what started our meetings with the town board and going over version after version of proposed code that we had. It took all those meetings way back when, showing that film, to make the town board realize this was something from ground up that people wanted. You know, you don't want government from top down. You want it to bubble from the bottom up.
So the civics then, the civics as a group or individually, and the town itself, we're all living in the same place together. We all have a lot of interests in common, right?
Right.
That's right.
But what the civics associations and North Fork Civics is institutionalizing public feeling, or is it more that it's reflecting public feeling?
I think it's reflecting, Hazel. And if you go back to the survey and think about the working groups that we've formed, as Dreanne said, we had one on Big House. Now we have three other ones, code enforcement, zoning, and we have coastal resilience issues. All three of those came out very important to people in our survey. And we did a tremendous amount of research on code enforcement and put together a presentation last month in Mattituck, which was very well received. And code enforcement was a big concern on the survey among people in every single hamlet.
Drianne Benner and Anne Murray are talking about North Fork Civics of Southold. This is Hazel Kahn and North Fork Works on WPKN Radio.
Code enforcement is a lot of different issues. Enforcing quality of life things like people who build without a permit, the short-term rental code, which really hasn't been enforced very well in the town, signage that's not supposed to be there. People are not supposed to be parking giant boats in their driveways. Those quality of life issues around the town, that's code enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And Hazel, going back to your question about institutionalizing the voice of the citizens, of the residents here, mm-hmm. that's not a bad way to describe it. It helps all of us by working together, because when a civic is all alone working on a single issue, you don't have the broader perspective that others might have. And then that perspective is what brings this focus, pull those resources and get more done. Because we work together, there does feel like there's more structure to this, so that the civics aren't going to go away. They will continue to grow.
When was the first meeting of this larger group? Is there a date?
Our first Zoom call, maybe, or a first phone call we did when COVID started?
Yeah, it was March 2020. The first question was, does anyone have any information about what we can do to help the citizens in our hamlet understand what's going on? But that really brought everyone together very quickly. No one really knew what to do, how to behave, where to go. There were so many questions everyone had in this country. So sharing of information was a first big thing.
And then slowly you began to realize you also had power.
I'm not so sure we think about it as power, but certainly when we can bring that expertise together into a plan, we hope it's a thoughtful plan that we present, that there would be a response that, why would you turn down those resources if those resources are there, ready and offering to work on some of the issues that this town has? We have more issues than we can possibly, conquer, and we can get more done by working together.
When I said power, I meant that by being organized in this way, you are presenting a formidable force, and that has power. So people will more and more be taking the civic voices into account when they present a project that they want to develop.
Hazel, I want to address that a little bit. I think before COVID, individual civics had somewhat of a reputation of getting things done in their hamlets. So when COVID happened, town government didn't really meet for a while. Drianne, you probably remember this. We each got calls from Dennis Noncaro, who's a government official. He was turning to us and saying, maybe you can help me get help to people. Mm-hmm. And we actually did that. In fact, we started a Facebook page called North Fork Resilience that people really liked. And we started our website back then, putting out information, what stores you can go to, what CSAs can you sign up for. It was a real outpouring of support for each other and support for the North Fork community as a whole.
As you were talking, I was thinking there was nothing like that when Sandy hit our shores, right? There was no organization, nothing to help lost contact with everybody. Won't things change? Won't there have to be more formalization as more people get involved, more issues come up, the seven or even if new civics come on board? How do you envisage growth? Do you have a plan for that? Or do you think you can just go on doing this? I mean, maybe you can. One of the reasons I wanted to do this interview with the two of you was to tell people who live on the North Fork, anywhere else that our radio signal goes, certainly Connecticut, which is really where most of the listeners are. I don't know if they have civics. I don't know what they have. But what is it that you can tell people about how to do this, how to get it going, and what they're missing by not having this infrastructure?
Planning for growth. So we did actually have that offsite. We did the survey. We looked at the priorities of the community members. And in Orient, we looked at our previous priorities through surveys that we had done, and we meshed the two together. And by focusing in on a few of these high priority items, we have the structure to work together on, let's say, three or four of these areas. Anne mentioned coastal resilience, the zoning project. Well, housing is one of those working groups and enforcement. We're not trying to do too much. We can't do too much. We're volunteers. We all have other jobs and things to do. But by focusing on a few key areas where we can, again, pool our resources, tap into the expertise of the community and identify those issues and provide some type of solution. Again, we all know the problems. It's focusing on the solutions and providing some of that. Again, we're not the only ones, but we can be another voice, another constructive voice in solving some of the current and future problems that the North Fork, South Old Town in particular, will encounter over the coming years. We can add another civic. It's not a problem. We have agendas. We focus our meetings. We've peeled off into these different groups. We just want to accomplish a few things together because we have many things going on in our individual hamlets as well. And we encourage anyone to join a civic at any time.
You know, we're the North Fork Civics of Southhold, meaning Southhold Town. There are also a lot of engaged civic groups in the town of Riverhead, which is just to our west. So starting a civic, well, with East Marion, it's not only the spa that brought us together, but we also developed a social component where we ended up having meetings every month, and they weren't just on government issues, but we had an annual ice cream social and an annual cabin fever potluck in February, because in the winter, everybody wants to get out and see their neighbors. And after Sandy, because we didn't have power in East Marion for 2.5 weeks, and we had a lot of elderly people living alone, we got a group together and split up our hamlet into sections so that in future hurricanes, we would have sort of a section leader who would look out for the people in their neighborhood. And that worked pretty well, although we probably need to go back to those committees right now.
I'm so impressed by the way you've been talking about all of this. And obviously, there is a very clear, unexpressed agreement among all of you that you will behave in a particular way and that you will come to agreement in a particular way about how to do something. However, as a group, and because I am also a member of a civic association, I know that there can be disagreements. And I know one of the issues that has come up, in particular in crafting a survey, the idea of neutrality, is that an issue?
When we have a forum, we seek to present all sides of an issue. And we do that through panels and discussions and audience participation. I have to tell you, at least in our hamlet, we have very active discussions. The audience is as engaged as the speakers. So it's a lively conversation. All sides of an issue are presented and thoroughly discussed in the Q&A portion of presentation. We did work, Hazel, on that survey. We did go through iterations. We, again, try as best we can as volunteers to be unbiased, but we recognize that there's always bias. We seek to do this, Hazel. We're not always perfectly successful, but it is our goal.
But there's intentionality in everything you do, in
that's
other
right.
words. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That's very interesting, very impressive. Are there any words of caution you might offer to people listening who might think, ooh, I want one of them, I want a civic? We could then move to ending our wonderful conversation.
There's a great deal of time and dedication that goes into being actively involved in these issues and seeing that there's enough people to share in that process so that it doesn't fall on just a few people.
Well, you're absolutely right. Although a small group of people is sometimes all you need to make big change. A small group of people can only work on issues for so long. So it's very important to have as many volunteers as you can to work on a board or on a civic. Have some diversity in maybe age groups and how long people have been here, and a good mix of local people versus second homeowners versus new arrivals is always good because you want as many perspectives as possible.
With that diversity, I know from my own experience, come a lot of new skills as well. Diverse skills that may not have been resident in the community before, that the new people will bring in.
Absolutely.
You know, skills and talents. One more question. I'm wondering if this civic engagement, we often hear during election season and other times that people are not participating in the civic life of their own communities and their own counties and their own towns and their own nation. I'm just wondering if the success and the dynamics of these groups of civics in our towns, in our community, is there something that it tells us about the rest of the country? Is there a new momentum arising Or is it just something that's very local?
Since before the North Fork Civic started meeting, Orient and East Marion always had every election season a candidates forum to get together and present the candidates to both of our civics, ask them questions on the issues, and get the voters informed. And we've been doing it ever since. Now, this year with the North Fork Civics, we've decided to hold two candidate forums, one for the eastern part of South Old Town and one for the western part. Still working out the details, but there's important town elections coming up. So we survey our members and ask them to send us questions that they would like to ask the candidates. And then we get together and parse through them and put together a summary and ask those questions at these candidate forums. And it's very well attended every election season.
But it's geographical, not political, the division between east and west.
Yes, and we're very, very particular about not making it political. The questions are, as I said before, from the bottom up. They're not really political questions. They're local questions. Mm-hmm. We're not favoring the Republicans or the Democrats. We're just asking concrete questions about town government. How would this candidate do this? How would this candidate do that? Working for the town.
It's sometimes hard to understand how town governments work. One of our roles is to bring it home, to look at the quality of life in our communities and say, you have the opportunity to have input, to have a voice, to really be represented. It's this old idea of a public citizen goes back a ways. We can bring those issues home, make them understandable because they're right here in your community. And rather than think you don't have any control over your future, you could have a voice. You can feel connected to those areas of relevance in your community, get connected to the town where things do change.
Back in 2005, I went to one of my first town board meetings and I spoke about some water issues that I saw in East Marion and the town as a whole. And at the end of that meeting, I was really surprised that two town board members approached me and thanked me for coming to the meeting and expressing my opinion. And there was hardly anybody at that town board meeting. And that really shocked me because I thought, wow, you know, doesn't anybody care enough to come and tell the town what they think about a particular issue? I've always encouraged people to go to the town board and speak up because we elect the town government. They work for us. Never forget that. You always have the right to speak and ask questions. Mm-hmm. That's what democracy is all about.
Thank you very much. In ending then, Drianne Benner and Anne Murray, could you each direct our audience to your own civics and to North Fork Civics websites?
OrientAssociation.org and North Fork Civics is nfcivics.org. Please come and visit. Remember, there are seven civics in Southold, so please take a look at all of them.
The East Marion Community Association can be found at emca.us. And the civics, we also have a Facebook page, North Fork Civics Resilience, if you want to take a look at that.
Thank you very much indeed, Anne Murray and Drianne Benner, for sharing us so much that you've learned and how much you have created and produced as a huge resource and very accessible indeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hazel.
You've been listening to Drianne Benner and Anne Murray talking about their leadership roles with North Fork Civics of Southold. You can hear North Fork Works on the first Wednesday of the month at this time and any time at all as podcasts on hazelkahn.com. To support my programs, Tidings and North Fork Works, and all WPKN's terrific interview programs, please consider making a donation at WPKN.com. Thank you. I'm Hazel Kahn.